Welcome to the House of Style podcast, a conversation series where we talk to prominent Australian interiors figures about their design journey, what inspires them, and where they're headed.
This is a deep dive into their past, present, and futures, discussing what it takes to become an iconic figure in today's interiors landscape.
With our background as style editors, we've crossed paths with some incredible furniture and homewares brands, designers, artists, and makers. This is our way to share their inspiring stories with you, the listener. I'm interior stylist Kerri-Anne Jones.
And I'm interior designer Jono Fleming. And welcome to the House of Style. We are off and running on our colour season, and today's guest is definitely appropriate for the topic.
Absolutely. We sat down with stylist, business owner, and ball of energy, Julia Green of Greenhouse Interiors.
Ball of energy is right. This woman does not stop, but everything she does has her stamp on it.
Yeah, if you see a greenhouse interior shot, you know who is behind the scenes styling and creating these images. And Jono, you know about her background story, but she tells us in our chat, and oh my gosh, I mean, what a story.
Yeah, it is a wild one. And her origin story into this industry is one of my favorites. Brace yourself, it's really good. Julia tells us about her childhood growing up in a wild, colorful, crazy home, how she manages to run all of the facets of her business, and she lets us in on some really exciting projects she has coming up.
This is a really fun chat, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
Buckle in and enjoy this episode of House of Style.
Julia, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's so nice to have you.
Woohoo! I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
So we like to start from the very beginning. Can you tell us about your childhood and where you grew up?
I can. Memory lane. So now that I'm a dinosaur, that's going to take ages to rewind my brain that far back. There's one word for my childhood, and it won't surprise you, but that's colourful. Because I have a mother who is very colourful. So she ensured that, metaphorically speaking, you know, there was never a dull moment with good old Jillimar around. We grew up in a funny little house, actually, that was from mixed marriages. So there were half brothers and sisters and bits and pieces everywhere. It was a bit like the Brady Bunch for a time there. And one of the houses we lived in, which I'll never forget because it's really, I think, left a mark on certainly my career now, was a house that was going to be demolished. So we were allowed to live in this house for 12 months before the property developers would come in and pull it down.
Yeah.
And so they basically said in that time we were permitted to do anything we wanted to the house because it was going to be pulled down anyway.
Awesome.
So my mum took it upon herself to just turn that year into the most fun, crazy years about our lives. So we were allowed to paint on the walls, draw on the walls. Oh. We wrote stories on the walls.
Wow.
She covered the whole front room in, I'm not joking, alfoil. So there was a silver disco room.
That is amazing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it was just crazy. She had a disco ball hanging from the ceiling, and every time you walked in from school, you know, Blondie was blaring from the record player.
What a cool mum.
Then she, like, one day we came home and just the whole corridor was dug up and she said, you won't believe it, I found all this money. Oh. Anyway, she'd found money under the floorboard.
What?
Newspapers from, I don't think you could even use the currency. It was probably like from, you know, 1890. But it was just a really rich and colourful history. And mum had this ability to, even if you were living in a hovel, which we didn't live in a hovel, but it was a house that was going to be demolished, so it was in pieces, she still made it the coolest place in the whole suburb. And everyone that came was fascinated. The jaw would just drop at the front door. You'd swing the door open and there's Jillimar in her leopard print tights and Blondie's blaring, and, you know, we just walk in and get the paint and start splashing it on the walls, and it was crazy.
Wow.
So that sense of freedom as a child has probably left, you know, an indelible mark on my creativity, really.
Yeah.
What a cool upbringing. That's amazing.
Yeah, look, and that didn't last. Let's be true.
Yeah.
I tell you what has lasted. Knowing Jillimar, she still does wear the leopard print tights and the Blondie's still blaring for her.
100%. She's just that kind of mum. So we've all had a lot of freedom and fun growing up with being allowed to explore whatever it was we wanted to explore, because her idea is that if you give people that freedom to do that, that's when you bring out the best and the most interesting things. And that's where children, she believes, like, you know, learn best, when they're allowed to be, you know, at their full best of creative thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That is so cool.
I haven't let my kids paint on the walls, I might tell you.
And I'm not going to let my kids paint on the walls.
No.
But maybe it's a good, like, maybe they could get a drop sheet of canvas.
Yeah, that's different. Outside, yeah, it's all very controlled. I wouldn't. There's no splashing paint and disco ball. Oh, no, there's disco balls, but yeah, there's definitely no splashing painting. So.
So you had this amazing creative upbringing fostered by your mum. And I know a bit about your backstory, and it takes a very interesting turn at one point. So can you catch us up to where you were in your career?
Oh, sure. Well, look, I really didn't know what I wanted to do at all at school, but I was relatively clever but really tried hard, like nerd try. Like,
relatable. A lot.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, I can't just pretend I was one of those naturally clever people. I wasn't. I really put the effort in. But because of that, and because I had a really, well, according to my family anyway, they always thought I was really good at persuading people to do things. So they thought I'd be a brilliant lawyer or a teacher. So I went through school thinking I'd be one of those two things because that's what people had sort of said. And nobody really had creative careers. We were encouraged to be creative as kids, but not necessarily as a career. And my mum's a nurse by trade, so she's got a science side of her brain, as do I. And so, yeah, I finished school and went to uni to study arts to get into law, and literally got through the arts degree, went to start the law, and just went, I am so tired of being a poor student. I just can't do this anymore. So I was living alone. When I say living alone, living out of home at the time. All my friends were still under their parents' roofs, and I'd been out since I was 17. Because my mum on a whim decided she'd move to the country, so she did. So, yeah, I kind of spent all of those years working about 4 part-time jobs on about 2 hours sleep, and I can honestly say it's the hardest I've ever worked in my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one day I just remember thinking, no, this is just not how people live, surely, on 2 hours sleep. So I opened the paper, and there was a job that said, would you like a car and a lot of money and, you know, you have to sell drugs. So I said, sure. And I took that job, I sold drugs, all very legal drugs, clearly. Yeah, and signed my life away to the pharmaceutical industry. And, yep, that was a time warp, really. 17 years later, I was still there. And that was not where I thought I'd end up or be at all.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a serious chunk of time as well.
A chunk of time, and it's just one of those chunks of times that, in retrospect, I think what the industry did was keep throwing new things at me because they could say I would get bored so quickly. So I was constantly given new opportunities and, you know, at one point had a gig that was taking me overseas quite a lot. So the jobs were good, the money was good, the perks were good. You know, the business class travel, I'd cash it in and bring my husband over and he'd ski the Swiss Alps while I was doing some conference for mental health or whatever. So it was quite an interesting chapter, but in my heart of hearts, I always knew it wasn't, it was an accident that just happened to be an accident for 7 years. I never meant to stay there. I never once got out of bed in the morning in that time going, woohoo, what's today? Mm. You know, all I thought was like, I feel sick. I can't believe I've got to go to this job again. It was just not what I wanted to do or be, but I didn't really know how to get out of it or change it. I just climbed ladders and there I was.
So what was the turning point for you? Like, how did you get out of that job?
Oh, well, that's another strange but happy accident.
I've heard this story from you from when we've done stuff together and just chatting with you and stuff. This is one of my favourite stories. Like,
cool.
This is great. I'm like getting ready. I'm
get ready, everyone.
In. Jono's getting all psyched up. I'm like, I've told this one a few too many times now. But it is the truth and it is the way it happened. And, it was such a sliding doors moment. There's no doubt about it because I was very heavily pregnant. So I was on maternity leave with my second child. And there was a knock at the door because I decided to sell a couch on eBay. So the man that was coming to collect the couch was there to pick it up. And so I opened the door and I was literally due to give birth that day. And so my stomach sort of was huge. And I think that kind of scared him in the first instance. And then he started to look around my house like suspiciously. I thought he was actually going to rob me because his eyes were everywhere. And then he stopped and he said, he could see I was looking really nervous. And he said, oh, sorry, you must think I'm a real nosy Parker. I was just curious, who do you style for? And I said, do you mean like eBay? Which is an incredibly embarrassing thing to say in hindsight, because he was a photographer for Vogue, for God's sake. So he hands his card over and said, oh, I'm a photographer. I just wondered, you know, who you styled for. I mean, you must. And I said, what's that? What's a stylist? And he said, oh, well, people that make homes look like this. And I said, oh, right, okay, that's good. What do you have to do to be one of those people? Anyway, it was awkward and the conversation unfolded. And I said, anyway, you better go because I'm having a baby now. So let's you know, maybe hook up another time. And off he went with his couch and he left his card. And that, to be honest, I did have a baby 2 hours later. So I really didn't think much more about him or that entire situation until the maternity leave ran out. And then I was like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. I cannot go back to that thing, job. It's just soulless. And it, you know, it just does not make my heart beat at all. So I remembered that man and that conversation and pulled the card out of the place I'd hidden it, which I luckily remembered because I had baby brain. Yeah. And when I called this guy, the phone went beep, 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 and I'd obviously caught him in the middle of the night in Italy where he was shooting for Italian Vogue or something.
Wow.
And he was like, who, what? You know, it was so awkward. I was like, what have I done? I phoned this man and he doesn't remember who I am. Long story short, he worked it out. He was like, I'm overseas. Call this guy. I know they're actually looking for someone to shoot tomorrow. And I said, sure, you know, and then, yeah, my husband walked in the door that night and he said, how's your day? I said, yeah, good, I've become a stylist. And he was like, oh, that's good. So what's that? And I said, oh, they make houses look like this apparently. And he said, great. So when do you start? And I said, tomorrow. So you have to pull a sickie and I've got to apparently turn up to some house and make it look nice. And he was like, okay, well, good luck with that. And that's what we did.
Wow.
So I haven't kind of got off the treadmill since, but it was a very unorthodox way to kickstart a styling career, granted. But, you know, and that makes it all sound so flippant and like it just fell out of the sky, which, yes, it did fall out of the sky, but every day since I've had to earn my stripes and work so hard to, because it's an honour and a privilege to be in people's homes to shoot them, and it's not something I just, you know, am flippant about at all. But, yeah, I've had to, really roll my sleeves up and work very, very hard. But, yeah, crazy beginnings, crazy.
That is amazing.
It's so good.
My mind is just blown right now. It's such a cool.
I think strange things like that sometimes, you know, happen and life collides in strange ways at the best of times. And it could have that could have happened a year or two before and not eventuated. It was just all the stars aligned, you know, and the timing was right. And I had, you know, one child that would be starting childcare soon and one, you know, because I was supposed to be on maternity leave and going back to some corporate job. So, yeah, it just worked out and here we are.
But then also you had that eye, like your house looked a certain way that it got the attention from someone. And
but I think this, in total fairness, you know, there's so many people that have houses that look like mine. And I'm not just saying that to be humble. Yeah. I'm actually genuinely telling you there's nothing, but it was a good house. It had some nice things in it. And I spent a lot of time like my mother used to, you know, in terms of composition. So there's all the scale and height and attention to detail and colour. And so it was probably interesting. But I've been in so many homes over the last 11 years. And I tell you what, mine was nothing terribly special. I just got lucky, but I've had to really work hard to keep that luck going, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Made the most of the opportunity and then you ran with it. Yeah.
That's it. Exactly, Kerri-Anne. I really believe that, you know, you've got to really chase your destiny. I don't think apples fall from trees just straight into people's laps like they want them to.
So you were on this journey to be a stylist.
Mm.
And then at what point did greenhouse interiors start to form, or the idea of that?
That happened really quickly, and another just fortuitous accident, because I was out propping and finding all these gaps in the market. You know, you've got to rewind 11 years ago, and a lot's happened in 11 years when you think about the interior scape and the way it was and the way it is now. I mean, there's a flood of everything out there now. There's choice galore. Whereas 11 years ago, there wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think the block was running. You know, it was all of that stuff that's brought interiors into people's homes, whether they like it or not. So I would find gaps all the time, and I was getting so frustrated with not being able to find specific things that I wanted, you know, certain objects, or, you know, I'd want a ceramic dish in a certain shape, or a piece of art that was in these dimensions and these colours, etc. When I found the pieces eventually, I'd, you know, sometimes find them through all sorts of means and ways, as we do, and I'd say to the artist or the maker, where do you sell this? And they'd be like, oh, at a Sunday market once every 2 months.
Wow.
I'd be like, oh, okay, well, I don't go to those Sunday markets every 2 months. This is not going to work out for us. So how about I take you on as an artist, and I use all of my 17 years of selling drugs. So I've got really good selling skills, great marketing ideas. I know how to recruit people. I've got all this business, I suppose, expertise, albeit from a completely irrelevant, you know, a career. Let me see if I can use all of that in this industry and start something. So I took literally three people on, and one of them is Karen Morton, who's a ceramicist. Oh, she's still with me today, and I count her literally as a sister. We do sing-offs every night. Okay. I haven't ever told anyone that, but yeah, I'm gonna let a few bombs out today. You're gonna get some really interesting.
Get some good scoops. Love it.
Got some big ones coming. But yeah, Kaz and I have just such a great time together, and we just ultimately have so much respect for one another's craft. And I think that is the kind of environment I've fostered with the group I've got. So there's about 50 of them now, which is a lot, because I manage all of their account, sales, marketing, PR, and you know, now thank God it's not just me, and there's so many others in our team that are contributing and helping. But yeah, it was, this whole thing was born from a gap that I found, and then it was just about going and finding ways to fill those gaps and take these makers' work into a commercial realm, because often that's not their expertise. Yeah. Some of them are brilliant and have great business backgrounds too. Others have just made their whole life and would just rather be in their studios and not speak to people. So it's a real mixed bag. And I think by having that greenhouse interface, it's just made life easier for them to get on with what they do best and create. Yeah. And we have the professional team to take their work to market and do a great job. So it's gone from strength to strength, that part of the business. And really, I never had an intention. I didn't plan to be a stylist, and I didn't plan to be selling homewares at all.
That's awesome.
But they go hand in hand, clearly.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Absolutely. I mean,
that's why you started, you know, Palette.
That's why, yeah, exactly.
You know, it's found gaps in the market as well.
I think every stylist has that moment where they're prepping a shoot or planning or something, and then they go, why don't I have this little dish in the exact size and shape and colour I want? And that's, we all go, oh, we'll put it into our product line one day.
Yeah.
But
you made it happen.
Yeah, no, I did it. And I'm really glad I did, because I think what it's meant is that I now am in a position where I can kind of divvy up my time and don't have to be on the tool styling. So styling is great and I love it, and I still keep my hand, you know, in the mix. But you're being paid for the hours. You were not even really being paid for the hours. You work a lot of the time, because you pull out 12-hour days, and you know, nobody's going to say, let me give you $250 overtime an hour because you deserve it. That's not what this industry is about, unfortunately. So I thought if I really wanted to stick to styling, which I did because I genuinely love it, I was going to have to find other ways to be commercially viable and last the distance. And so this has now allowed me to have a website where, thank God, my husband is an IT genius and he's got a master's in marketing, so he's very clever. He runs the whole show and we make money while we sleep. And that, to me, means that I'm in a position to choose between, do I have to style 5 days a week, or do you reckon I could pull it back and maybe do three now? And that's how it's kind of changed the pace a bit.
That's
amazing.
That's the dream.
It's a total dream.
I'm making the dream sound probably a lot better than it is, because you've got to remember we're a husband and wife working together. So let's remember there could be occasionally a few little blues along the way. And, you know, we're both 24/7. I'll be very honest with you. Sounds like we're living a dream, and we laugh all the time, because we sometimes go for a walk very late at night and we just look at each other with eyes on stalks, and I just say, babe, living the dream. And we just laugh at each other. We just laugh, because what else do you do? Otherwise you'd cry. We just work so hard.
Yes. Get that.
We'll be right back after this break.
As stylists, we're always looking for that perfect piece to finish off the room. One of our favorite places to shop is Design Stuff.
From local brands to global favorites like Firm Living, Christina Dam Studio, Menu Copenhagen, and many more, each piece has a refined design aesthetic with a strong Scandinavian feel. You can find everything you need for the home, from decor to accessories to furniture. There's something for every space.
You can shop their entire collection online at designstuff.com.au or pop into their flagship store in St Kilda and see these beautiful products up close.
This is a stylist go-to and a definite favourite of ours here at the House of Style. And back to the episode. That sort of brings us into the present. And our main theme for this season is colour. And you are not afraid to use colour in your styling. Can you describe what the greenhouse interior style is and sort of what you look for when you're styling or when you're looking at artists?
Yeah, that's a good one because obviously, you know, I am known for colour and I'm very happy to have that association and proud of that because colour is my jam and that's what I stand by and live by and always have. But I'd like to think with when you talk about greenhouse style, by definition, that's kind of expanded into things that aren't necessarily things I'd have in my own home. Mm. That's more of a, so that side of my business is kind of more commercially driven where I'd say, okay, that artwork is really good. It's a style that sits well with the other styles I've got, but it's not something I've got right now. I might not have that one in my home, but that might be for the people that have, I don't know, Hampton style homes, for example, because that's the thing about style. There's not obviously one way to do it. And it's the same with colour. There's not one way to do it. So the greenhouse style I'd say is premised on colour, but in all sorts of forms. So I don't ever want to be pigeonholed to, oh, you know, if you don't have bright pink and apple green in the mix, Julia won't take you. That's not the case at all. I'm looking for, in artists, an expression of their creativity that may be a gap in my own fold. Mm. But most importantly, once I've established that gap and found an artist, there is a chat. So there is an interview process, if you like, because the most important thing for me in my business is the culture and the way we all communicate with one another. So I have a don't be a dick policy.
Yeah.
Love it.
Loud and proud, yeah. First thing you see when you walk into my house is Rachel Castle's tea towel framed as an artwork that says don't be a dick. So there's no ifs or buts about it, like no dicks involved in allowed in the house. It's not happening. So, yeah, so when I chat to them, I get a sense straight away of, okay, and I ask a lot of loaded questions. I want to know if they're, are they team players? Like, are they going to be good for me as much as I'll be good for them? I've proven that to people. I know what I'm giving to my artists, but I'm looking for what they can do for my team because it's got to be a bit of give and take. So the attitude, in a long story short, attitude is everything to me. And I think if you get the right people on board with the right skill set and you're all singing from the same hymn book, you know, you really do make magic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That makes total sense. It's nice. It's good that you kind of, yeah, you screen everybody. For the don't be a dick.
Yeah.
I wish I need
to use Jono just snuck through. He just slid in by the feet of his pants. No, I'm joking. You're the epitome of don't be a dick. You're the best, Jono.
Thank you. I'll take that. I've got it recorded now, so there you go.
Yeah, I know. God, I've done myself a disservice
yeah,
there.
I'm
going to pop that little one out every time we have a chat. You said I'm the best.
Yeah.
So what does a typical day or a week look like for you? Because I know for us as stylists, it changes because we freelance and we're on job to job. But what's it like for you? Because you're doing the freelance styling as well, but you've also got your business as well. So how do you
get that? Yeah, I don't even know how it happens. I'm quite confused by all of it. I know I've got an amazing PA assistant, customer service person. I don't even know what it is. I just say she runs the place, basically. I call her the boss, and that's my Kim Nicholson. So she's been with me from day dot. So, again, you will sense throughout this chat that, you know, there's a real sense of team and people that we stick together. So loyalty is important. And, yeah, I'd walk coals for Kim. And I basically have said to her, the gun is at her head. If she ever leaves, the company sinks. We're finished. We're gone. So she can never leave. Between her and my husband, they really do run the company now. Like, I've really let go of so many different jobs. So it's so hard for me to tell you what a typical day looks like because, you know, I could be screening new artists. I could be in a Zoom meeting with a brand talking about product innovations. I could be doing some video content for somebody. I could be styling for a magazine. I could be styling for as an ad job. I get about 1,000 emails a day and that's pretty full on. So I do inevitably spend a chunk of time behind the computer, and there's just
so glamorous world of styling.
Oh, I know. Like just so many decisions have to be made in a day. That's what kind of curls my hair. So I think that's why I live day to day. I can't even think about tomorrow at the best of times. My brain can't do it, whereas my husband is exceptional at that part. So we're just total opposites. You know, Mr. Green, God bless him, he's just changed. Oh, I do like him. We've been together since we were 16, so it's been a long haul. And, yeah, so we've got a lot of history together, and I just have so much respect for him as a person, and I think he's ultimately changed the course of the ship, really. So we've got so many exciting things coming, which I'm going to be sharing with you guys for the first. No one knows these are so
we will get to that.
Yes.
Back to a bit of color. What is your favorite thing about using color when you are styling?
Oh, I just love the instant shift of mood by the introduction of one palette or one hue, or it can just, you just turn that dial right up or turn it right down, and you can change the whole mood of a space. I think the correlation between colour and emotion obviously has been proven and scientifically so, but it's more than that for me. It's what it does to my insides. Like, I start to almost, you know, fidget on the spot and jump up and down with excitement when I see certain colours marry together. It's still such a genuine thrill and love for me to find unions of colours together. Yeah. So, you know, and you get the brief that'll be sent through from a client that says, you know, I like this and that. And just sometimes, depending on who the client is and what the brief is, I might just gently shove a little bit of hot pink in there, even though they want a white on white. And I love to do it because I'm cheeky, but I love to watch people's faces. It's like a permanent social experiment to me, colour. You just walk down the street and you see, I don't know, a kid in a yellow raincoat and you smile. Or someone walked up to me recently and I happened to have this psychedelic checkered jacket on, and they were just like, I got stopped about 5 times that day. Just people looking at me, they just said, you just look so happy. And I'm thinking, I'm happy. Are you happy? Are you happy now that you're looking at me happy? Because I hope the happiness rubs off. And they did, they smiled. Like, you could see that the colour had actually made them smile. It's just fascinating. But that aside, I just think it can be such a game changer in an interior space. I know there's a lot of other factors when it comes to clever interiors and creating really beautiful, considered spaces, but colour is my favourite trick in the book. I love it.
Yeah. And so where do you get your inspo from for colour palette?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a bit blah because everyone says the same thing to this kind of question, really. Like, you know, yes, it's fashion, it's travel, it's all of those things. It could be one leaf on a tree that does it to me because it's got like this crazy
color orange shade.
Yeah, like it's the tree with the one, you know, one leaf that's starting to hit autumn first, and I'll find that one leaf and just stare at it I would get lost for an hour in a leaf. It's sad, but true. But one of my favourite tricks, actually, which is not, you know, your nature walks and going to the beach and all of the opal blues in the sea, that, you know, all those lovely poetic things that people talk about. I've got a good old fashioned deck of cards. They're Pantone cards, but they're quite generous size. So it's a good hit of colour. And my kids will come in and find me with like my box of, they call it the box of tricks. So I'll be on the floor with my box of tricks and I'll be just like holding up two cards, like, look, kids, look. And I'll have a chartreuse and a lilac or something, and they'll be like, great, mum, great, that's great, good on you. And I'm like, thank you, I know, it's so good, isn't it? So I still am excited by finding some colours that, you know, work well together, and that's now having a big influence on the fact that we've produced our own range. So we've got like an art-inspired brand now of textiles and other things. So, yeah, the colour plays my favourite part because I'm able to really influence, you know, different colours that come in now into our own range.
Yeah, awesome. I love that box of tricks.
Honestly, that was $39. It's the best trick ever. I get so many people excited with that box of tricks, I tell you.
So this is, might be the toughest question. What is your favourite colour?
Yeah, well, it's so tough. I really find this tricky. I'm going to say green up front, and it's very fortuitous that I married a man with a surname Green.
Yeah.
Particularly because here's the clincher, my maiden name was Salmon. How funny is that? So I've gone from one colour to another. It's ridiculous. And what's more ridiculous is I was allergic to seafood and I had the surname Salmon, so that was terrible. But, yeah, the green hues still really, like, totally excite me. But, yeah, followed right behind that is, like, yellow and chartreuse. I love them.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I love them as a little surprise element in an interior.
So can you paint us a picture of what your home style is like, your personal style? Is it sort of similar to your work style that everyone knows you for? Is it pretty much hand in hand?
Yeah, I think there's a signature there, like a handwriting, as people call it. I mean, my natural inclination is to go for pops of colour rather than like saturated colour per se. Like I don't throw it necessarily on all over the walls or... and I'm always looking for a good colour clash because I love surprise in interiors. And I think probably like Jono, I'm more maximalist than minimalist. Yeah, I try and swing between the two a little bit because, you know, I'll go through that mad phase of culling. So I'll throw everything out and then I'll be like, God, I got rid of everything. I'll start again. Damn. So, yeah, I think my own house is... Yeah, if you saw my own house and my work, you would say they're definitely related. But I have a really good art collection, which is not surprising given I represent artists. So, yeah, my home is like a shrine to them and they know it. So I actually live and breathe my own product. I don't just, you know, necessarily sell it and go to bed. You know, I really, really celebrate what my people do. So, yeah, there's definitely an authenticity there. But, yeah, my style's probably a little quirky. I don't think there's nothing necessarily traditional. And my home, where I currently live, is like a concrete bunker at the back of a beach. So it's kind of raw materials, but then there's like a wooden cathedral ceiling in the lounge. So it's the mixed materials really work well and they provide a really lovely canvas for, you know, pops of colour to be introduced in there with art and decorator items and things.
Love. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on down. You're welcome anytime.
Once all the borders are all sorted, we'll head right down.
Gosh, I know those borders. Crazy stuff.
So last year you launched your own range of bedding and textiles under Greenhouse, but it was your first product essentially.
Yes.
How was that?
Well, it was pretty exciting, I have to say, at the time. I mean, I've represented so many other people along the way that it was, yeah, a little bit exciting to have something that we could brand as our own, but I can't really take much credit for it. I mean, I'd love to sit here and tell you I did it all, but I didn't, because our brand is very art focused. So we really want to be known as an artistic lifestyle brand. So we work with our artists hand in hand and we choose a beautiful piece of theirs that we think we can interpret and perhaps create repeat patterns with. So it's quite a collaboration there. It's not just us designing stuff willy-nilly. It's really using the creativity and the clever people that we already have at our disposal to help create the ranges. So, I mean, my husband's very into the product design side of things. So he actually is more hands-on than I am, which is a funny fact because I don't think he ever saw himself doing that. Mm-hmm. But he does do all of that and a whole lot more. So I'll just like kind of waft into a meeting and they'll be like, do you like that? I'm like, no. Or do you like this? Oh, yes, I love that. And we get excited. So, yeah, it's a real process. And they take, like, we're working 12 months ahead at the moment. So we're looking at, 12 months out. So the collaboration is great and it's exciting. And I particularly love the shoot day when, you know, we've got all the finished products there and I get to see the artist's face light up because quite often for them it's, you know, like a dream to see their work translated in that medium. So, yeah, it's lovely. There's a lot of smiling, a lot of happy times.
So can you reveal any of your new exciting projects that you were mentioning before?
Yes.
Okay, well, this has been 10 years in the making and, Jono, it might have even happened a little bit might have happened on a side trip when you were in Morocco with me once upon a time. So in July of this year, Mel Habib, who is not only a very dear friend and an idol, but the photographer on 99.9% of my shoots, we've written a book. We've written a book together. Yay!
Yeah.
I know. And we've had to keep our mouth shut for 2 years. It's been such a big project and so long in the making. And you guys are hearing the breaking news. You're the first ones to know.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
Thank you.
Yes. So tell us about the book.
So we're just thrilled. We partnered with Hardy Grout, who have just been incredible. And it is we call it a love job because the topic is colour. So for Armel and I, we've captured interiors from all around the world. So literally from Morocco to Spain to Italy, etc. So on many of our worldwide travels over the 11 years we've worked together, there's a real compilation of interiors mixed with a little bit of streetscape fashion. And it's, dare I say it, because I'm scared to sound like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but this is like a job I'm really, really proud of.
Yes.
And Armel to work with is just a dream. Her eye is, in my humble opinion, the best in the industry. So to do this with her meant a lot, and we literally just saw the hardcover this morning for the first time.
Oh, my gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, and it's an incredible cover, and you're going to die just when you see the contents, because there's so much how to use colour in a space, and people are so frightened of colour. It is just a thing. We like it or not, people are scared. And so the whole point of the book is to demystify that fear, because there is nothing to be scared of, and we walk you through step by step with a guide on how to introduce it, whether it be gently or thoroughly or whatever it is, and back it up with some of the best images in the world. So it's, and some of the best designers in the world. We've got some really big headline names.
That is awesome.
A very, very exciting project.
Congratulations.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yes, I'll get you a signed copy on that.
Love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And when is it being released?
So July it will be launched. So we've still got a couple of months. It's just the lead time with book production apparently, and I'm new to books, so I have no idea what I was doing at the best of times. But anyway, I know there's a lot of words, and it's taken me 2 years to write, and it's been through teams of, you know, editors and sub-editors who have all done brilliant work. So it's a really lovely team effort by everybody involved.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations. That is super exciting.
Yeah, and well done staying tight-lipped on that, because that would have been hard. There's been a few nights on the rosé with us, so...
Oh, no, I nearly let it slip when we were in Morocco, but I'm like, I can't. I have to be good. Yeah, so I can be a vault when I need to. I know you probably think I can talk under water with a mouthful of marbles, and I can, but I am really good at keeping secrets when I need to.
That one's worth the wait. So while we're talking about the future, we like to take a moment to reflect. And is there any advice you'd give to your younger self?
I don't reckon I'd give Julia Green any advice. I don't reckon she'd listen to it, because she's just off in her own little pixie land. So it'd just fall on deaf ears. No, I think in seriousness, I think you've just got to try things in life. I think, and in doing that, which is what I've done, I've really had a taste of so much diversity in my career. So what I would probably tell myself is to keep that up, but just remember that it's a marathon and it's not a sprint. And I think particularly since this starting in this industry, I've been sprinting for 11 years and in full transparency, you know, really limped to the finish line last year. Like I had a real moment of, I don't know whether I'm done. Am I able to keep this up? You know, I'm being brutally honest, but that's just the way it was. I think I reached, you know, almost like a burnout point really, where I thought I can't go this fast. So yes, like, slow down, Julia Salmon, slow down.
Yeah, I think especially last year being such a strange year, like emotionally for a lot of people as well. I know I said to Carrie Ann, I finished the end of the year feeling exhausted and unfulfilled, which is kind of a bummer, but it sort of was a good thing to then start this year and go, okay, really focus, really prioritize. What are you going to do? What do you want to do?
You're good at that, Jono, though. Like, you are a really good little plotter and planner. I mean, I've got a lot to learn from that. As I said, I'm just a Nike girl. I just get out and go. I just do it. But I think last year was tricky because COVID really did spin our business into a whole new stratosphere. Like, I think we were triple what we were the year before, which is amazing and all good, but there was no rest at all. And we worked so hard throughout all that time where people were bunkering home and, you know, cooking up lovely spaghetti. So I didn't get a lot of that opportunity. I was so busy. And then, of course, as soon as the lockdown was over, I was trying to backfill 3 months of styling jobs into the last back end of the year, which were already booked. So I ended up working all weekends. And, yeah, come December the 24th, I was just, you know, oh, I didn't know whether I was Arthur or Martha. And it was just, yeah, I just needed to get horizontal by my pool for, you know, I'm still kind of horizontal by my pool. I'm still recovering.
It was a big, absolutely.
Yeah. But I have more big news. Do you want to know another bomb?
Yes.
I can't believe I'm giving you two bombs. And these are seriously two things that I've not told anyone. So here's another bomb. We look like we're about to sign on a really amazing commercial space, which we're going to build into an art destination. And it's, I'm just going to say, it's 600 square metres that resembles a New York loft, and it's amazing.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds awesome.
It's very exciting because it will be an Australian concept destination for anyone that loves art, and it'll come in all sorts of forms. So I'm not just talking the art that we traditionally know of. It'll be installations. It'll be very immersive. You know, there'll be a whole range of things happening in the one space at the one time. And yeah, we just had our final meeting this morning to try and get the building signed off, just with, you know, all the legalities of council, blah blah blah. So if this one for whatever reason falls through, it's not a matter of, you know, if we'll do it, it's just a matter of when. But this one's looking pretty close, and I've employed my favorite designer in the entire industry.
Amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. When that's done, that will be
really busy this year.
Yeah. It's been a crazy start, but, you know, that's the beauty of it now, Kerri-Anne, is to, thank goodness, have some really cool people in the business that I can outsource stuff to, that used to really grind me down and take up a lot of my time. So now we've got a digital agency. I still do all my own socials, but, you know, we've got customer service, you know, design team, a fashion designer for some fashion wear starting. Adam works in the business full time. We've got three stylists. We've got two interior designers. So it's kind of grown, and now I can outsource and pass off the things that I used to do all of it. And
absolutely.
I don't know, like, how I'm still standing, really, because it was just too much for one person.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's the only reason we can get into, you know, the headspace of planning exciting new things now, because we've been, lucky enough to employ some really good people in that can help us.
That's so exciting, though, to have a physical greenhouse interior space.
I know. It really will be awesome. And it's probably going to push the boundaries, I think, of what people may even think greenhouse is. Like, you look at it online or on our site or Instagram, and it's quite one-dimensional, really, whereas what we're talking about doing are some really innovative, exciting things that I don't think that – I haven't seen anything like it here in Australia anyway.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's it. That is,
watch
a good tease.
Yeah, I know. I could tell you more, but I'd have to kill you. I think I've told you enough. Anyway, I've dropped two bombs.
That's a lot. That's good. I don't know if I could handle much more.
Oh, I need you to stay alive. I need you to come down and have a kitchen dance off with me soon.
Well, speaking of that, we're going to get into our fast five. Question number one is, what's on your kitchen dancing playlist at the moment?
Oh, we're so boring. We play the same stuff every week. Look, I'm just a tragic 80s girl. I can't help it. So, you know, every time my mum comes, we just crank out a very repetitive list of Blondie, Pet Shop Boys, you know, it's all the usual stuff that you would have seen on Instagram. When mum's not here, though, I get a bit of doof-doof happening, because I've got two teenage boys. I've kind of become accustomed to it, and they've actually introduced me to a couple of artists that I'm obsessed with, like I love. So, you know, I get a bit of Fisher. Do you know Fisher? No? I'm going to sing it for you anyway.
We don't have teenagers. I feel...
I used to work in the music industry, and now I'm so out of the loop.
Yeah, no, look, I'm only in the loop because, you know, the 18-year-old has educated me, but I really like some hardcore doof-doof. I like it.
Okay, yes.
Next question. What is your favourite item or product that you're loving at the moment?
So many. Gosh. I'm going to say to that one, I've got an artist called Britt Ferns, and I'm going to single her out for this particular nomination. Hope she's happy with it. Her artwork is extraordinary, and if you haven't seen it, you need to do yourself a favour. Her technique is very different to other people's I've seen. So she paints very beautiful, nostalgic kind of landscapes, but what she does is it's like an aged process. So she'll paint, then she'll sand back, then she'll put more paint on and create like almost a coarse sand-like effect in certain parts. Then she'll sand it back again. This whole shebang goes on for like 3 months until you get a piece out of her. Ah. It's intense. And it's so incredibly beautiful, that like this rich tapestry of texture and colour and whimsy. And I'm so in love with it. And she, for Christmas this year, sent me my own beautiful little mini original artwork, and I've hung it in my bedroom, and that's the first thing I look at in the morning now. I stare at it every day, and I feel like I'm the luckiest girl in the world to have it. It's just beautiful.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we'll put a picture of her work up on our Instagram.
Yeah, it's so good. Oh, look, she's got a wait list of 12 months. I haven't done her any favours because blowout's probably 2 years after your potty. But anyway, that's a good problem for an artist.
It's a good problem. What's one of your favourite meals, whether it's eating out or one of your famous cook-ups at home with Jilly Ma?
Yeah, I love a cook-up at home. I'm such a homebody. Look, as a kid, Mum said I never wanted to leave the house, and I was always building cubbies and changing my room around, and nothing's changed. Like, I just want to bunker in and be here. I couldn't give a rat's about going out for food. I think that's a bit overrated, and I know I'm far from a chef. Like, my food is abysmal, if we're truthful. In fact, I'm surprised we all haven't died of scurvy. I mean, really, it's a problem. But what I do know how to cook is a really good slow-cooked lamb, and I'll do, like, a delicious kind of, you know, Greek salad with, you know, potatoes soaked in lemon juice and capers. And like, so that's that. I love comfort food. I love KFC with gravy. Yeah. So, wow. I love that bad food, because I know that's not necessarily the height of nutrition. And I do, Jono, you'll be pleased to know, I still crank out a chicken tagine once a week.
Oh, no way.
Wow. I do, once a week.
That's impressive.
It's the preserved lemon one, and I've got it down pat. Like, I just can do it blindfolded now. I've done it that many times.
Oh.
And it's good. I'll cook it for you when you come. It's really good.
No way.
That's super yummy.
Yeah, maybe do a side of the Red Rita chips on the side for us as well.
I can't help it. And the gravy just takes it to a whole new level. Chips are really good.
That's awesome. And so, who would be a dream collaborator, client or project?
I want to work with Ken Doan. I really, really, and I have actually started the ball rolling with this one, and I haven't got anywhere with it yet, mind you. But anyway, Ken, if you're listening,
putting it out there,
now's your opportunity, buddy, to pick up the phone, because, yeah, you know, I'm all ears. Ken Doan is like my childhood idol, and I had every item of his that he ever made. And Mum and I don't know where it's all gone. We're really scared it's gone to the Selvos in one of the house moves, because we moved 14 times. Mm-hmm. But it was prized, and I loved it. And I had every Duna cover. I had the coasters. I had everything, Ken Doan. And so now that we're producing artwork onto textiles, you know, I've got this hope that, you know, I can have a chat to Ken and bring back the Ken Doan Duna, because I think us kids of the 80s deserve it.
Absolutely.
So I just love his, there's something, you know, about work that has that whimsical kind of almost childlike effect. I'm a sucker for it. I fall in love with it every time. You know, you just put any of that stuff in front of me and my knees shake. Yep. So Ken, he's sitting right there at the top of the list.
Love it. Yes.
Come on down, Ken.
We're putting it out there. And finally, one day when we're allowed to travel again, what's next on your dream holiday destination?
There's still so much of the world I haven't seen, and I have done a fair bit of travel, but I'm really scared I'm never going to get back to Morocco, and it really frightens me, you know, what's changed our whole world is just such a different place now, and I'm really scared what travel is going to look like. But anyway, that's not your question. To answer your question, when we can get on a plane, I had the most fabulous trip, and I've got it in my top three with Pip, who I do Moroccan trips with, as Jono knows. We did a little sneaky side trip to Ibiza before Morocco a year ago or 2 years ago now. Gosh, can't remember. It was the most extraordinary time of our lives. Like, we literally got off the plane, you know, jet lagged as hell, hiked our way around right to the quietest edge of the island, because when I think Ibiza, I just think doof doof. I would have loved it.
And you were ready.
I would have been right in my zone. But we found this place called Los Enamorados. And it's if you really want to stay somewhere so special, like it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, look it up and go. We stayed there for a couple of nights. We had the best time. We found deserted, craggy beaches, and then found like this little tiny bar that, you know, there's no people anywhere, but we found this little bar that was serving rosé and like fresh ripened vine-ripened tomatoes that had just fallen off the tree, and they'd sliced them open with basil and mozzarella. And it was just this weekend of lavish living, but simple living, but lavish in all extremities of flavours. And, oh, God, it was good. Great music, great company, laughs, and just the most extraordinary scenery. So Ibiza, I really rate it. I'd love to go back there. Love to take my family too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wouldn't actually, no.
Yeah, awesome. Amazing. Well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us. It's been awesome chatting with you. It's been so much fun.
Thanks, guys. You're a good little chatterbox pair, you are, and I've loved every minute of it.
Oh, and there's lots of exciting things coming up, so we'll put all of the info and links and everything, but thank you so much, and we can't wait to see what's coming this year.
Well, stay tuned, as they say. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much to Julia for joining us on the House of Style. You can follow Julia on Instagram at Greenhouse Interiors. For more info and to see our style edit inspired by Greenhouse Interiors, click the link in the description for our website. You can find us on Instagram at House of Style Podcast. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. And thanks for stopping by the House of Style.
House of Style is powered by Logitech and Blue Microphones. Thank you to Lucy Stevens for our artwork, Pro Podcast Productions for our audio, and Samantha Ponton for our social media.